I'd like to turn, first of all, to a verse in Hebrews chapter 10. This verse has been running through my mind this morning. It's a wonderful privilege to speak to you, dear fellow believers, young people, especially Sunday morning. The Lord's Day morning, we plan, as has been announced, to go down to Red Bluff for one purpose. Perhaps other things will be accomplished, but there's one reason for us leaving here and going to Red Bluff. That's because there is a place in Red Bluff where believers are gathered together under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with, again, one purpose. And that is to remember Jesus Christ, our Lord, in His death for us. I'd like to read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Dear young people, it's been some time since I was here as you are. And I used to think about the people that got up here at this podium and spoke as people that perhaps had done pretty well in the Christian life. Those that, as we would say, have it together as far as being Christians in this world. I want to tell you this morning that nothing is farther from the truth. We all are blemished with imperfections. And I used to think that as you got older, perhaps you smoothed some of those perfections away. That's not true. What you do as you get older is that you just keep discovering more. And it seems as though sometimes those perfections get worse as you get older or get greater in magnitude. I remember once I mentioned that recently to a young person. He says, "Is that really true?" I said, "Yeah, it is." "Is that right, Wally?" "It is." And so as we look at ourselves, there is nothing in us that is attractive to God by nature. You and I were born into this world with a sinful, condemned nature, a nature that loves to sin. And I still got mine. And I know that everyone here in this room still has theirs too. A nature that is doomed to failure. A nature that we have to live with all our lifetime in this world. And so, as we come before God this morning, I would like to turn your eyes and my eyes away from those imperfections that we find in ourselves to the perfection that is found in the one offering that God has made and in which He is fully satisfied. Dear young people, as we go into the presence of God this morning to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you going to present to Him? Your nice clothes, those new ones that you bought for Lassen? Are you going to present to Him the broken mistakes that you made through this past summer or winter? Are you going to present to Him what you have done that is right, or what you have done that is wrong? What offering are you going to bring to God this morning? What do you have? Let me tell you what I have, humanly speaking. Nothing. Nothing but broken bits and pieces. Humanly speaking, I have nothing to offer to God. Worse yet, those things that we count as righteousnesses are as filthy rags So, in other words, we all are bankrupt human beings. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. What the Scripture says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I would like to take just a few minutes to turn back to the book of Leviticus. It's the third book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Because there I believe we learn something more of offerings and what is suitable to God and what is not. And it is not my intention nor my capacity to explain the offerings to you. I think it would be nice, and I'll just say this as a suggestion to others, that you study these offerings more carefully. And perhaps someday, if the Lord leaves us here, our brother Bill Prost would take up the offerings in a visit here at Lassen. I don't expect us to be here next year, but I will make that suggestion to him. I'm sure he could do that for us. But there are two points in these offerings that I would like to bring before you this morning. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 1, the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. And it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. We're not going to get complex this morning, but I would like you to pay particular attention to the verses that I am reading. Now I would like you to drop down to verse 9. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Chapter 2. Verse 1. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. And he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 5. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and he shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, Then let him bring for his son, his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish, unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill a bullock before the Lord. In the first offering, the burnt offering, both of these two points that I would like to bring home to you and to me this morning are mentioned. First of all, the offering was to be without blemish, and in every case it was to be without blemish, without spot. But he brought it to the door of the tabernacle. And what did he do first of all? He laid his hand on the head of the offering. He laid his hand on the head of that offering. Now, if you were paying attention, in the second chapter, where we have the meat offering, that does not happen. Now you might say, well, how can you lay your hand on the head of a bowl of flour? That is true. That is absolutely true. It has significance, though, and we'll come back to that. In the third chapter, the peace offering, the man laid his hand on the head of the offering. In the fourth chapter, the sin offering, if a man had sinned, he laid his hand on the head of the offering. Now let's go back again. Chapter 1. What did we notice at the end of what I read? It was a sweet savor unto the Lord. Chapter 2, the meat offering, was a sweet savor unto the Lord. Chapter 3, the peace offering, was a sweet savor unto the Lord. Chapter 4, no mention of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now I hope that you are wondering why and what significance these things have to us here this morning. In a few moments, I would like to tell you. We mentioned that it is our privilege this morning to come into the presence of God. And I believe that it is appropriate for every one of us to think about what are we going to offer to God this morning. We mentioned how that, naturally speaking, you and I have nothing whatsoever to offer to God. Worse than that, if I look at my own life and myself in the flesh, I would be appalled to bring myself into the presence of God and all the things in my life that do not meet with His approval. How far from a sweet savor to the Lord is your life and mine in the flesh? How far is it? From as far as the east is from the west. But God knew that man would want to bring an offering, that man would need to bring an offering. And so He gives us a little explanation in this book of Leviticus, back in the Old Testament. He tells us what is a sweet savor unto Him. The burnt offering. Rather than take time to go into details, I will just tell you that the burnt offering, because it was wholly offered up to God, even the insides, the internal portions of that animal, were washed and burned completely on the altar, would speak to us of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. What does that mean to you, dear believer? Does that mean that Jesus Christ was made a sin offering? Not exactly. He was. We have read about four different offerings this morning, and the burnt offering does not bring that before us. the sin offering does, the sin and the trespass offering, which, if you remember, were not a sweet savor to God, were they? Why? Because when God has to deal with sin, it is a strange work. When God had to lay upon Jesus Christ your sins and mine, was that sweet? Oh no, it was not sweet. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, on who? That blessed Lamb, Jesus Christ, his beloved Son, the iniquity of us all. Is that sweet to him? Oh no, it's not sweet. Sweet to us, isn't it? Because we can, this morning, lay our hand on the head of the sin offering, the trespass offering, and by so doing, impute our guilt to that animal, that offering. And in the case of us who are Christians, that offering is Jesus Christ, who was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We do have a sin offering. But beloved brethren, we have a burnt offering too. Something that was wholly offered to God and fully satisfied Him was a sweet savor, because Jesus Christ, in the very act of being made sin, was offering Himself before God, a perfect, holy, spotless, without blemish, without spot, offering to God. We haven't got time, so I'll just quote it. In Matthew chapter 3, it says, after Jesus was baptized, and as He came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on Him like a dove, and the heavens were opened, and what was said? This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you may say, well, He hadn't even died yet. But He had just gone into the waters of baptism. And baptism always speaks to us of death. And having not stayed there, He was raised again. He came up out of the waters. And God saw in that picture the picture to us of Jesus going into death and being raised again, having satisfied God. You know, that's the importance of resurrection. That's the importance that it is of my heart that we serve. We belong to a Jesus Christ who not only died for us, but was raised again for our justification. And God sees Jesus coming up out of those waters of baptism, and He said, this is My burnt offering. This is the sweet savor to Me. This is the one who has lived for My glory on this earth and will go into death to glorify and honor Me. That's the burnt offering. Offered Himself without spot to God. You know, Jesus Christ set His face as a flint to go to Jerusalem to die. Nothing could swerve Him from going to that cross. Of little matter it was that men should mock Him, spit in His face, whip Him, wrongfully accuse Him. Of little matter, I say, because He knew that on the cross He must offer Himself wholly to God as a burnt offering. He must offer Himself to God as a peace offering to bring you and me into communion with God. He must offer Himself as a sin offering on the cross to be made sin for those of us who knew only sin. Is that nothing to you? Is it nothing to me? You know, when that man would bring his offering before the tabernacle and lay his hand on the offering of the burnt offering, to me, That is your privilege and mine this morning, dear fellow believer, of laying your hand on Jesus, on His head, if you will, and to see in Him not just a man who died for your sins, but a man who had a life, not like my life, not like your life, a life that is typified to us in that meat offering that you and I cannot lay our hand upon. We do not obtain the righteousness of Christ's life. He alone owned that righteous life. We do, fellow believers in Romans, learn that we have righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. But that's righteousness that is imputed to you and me on the simple basis of believing in Jesus and His finished work on the cross. That's righteousness from God. It has its source in God. It's not the righteous life of Christ. That belonged only to Him, and so I believe that's why there's no hand laying on in the meat offering, the righteous life of Christ. But it is our privilege this morning to meditate on Him as being offered wholly unto God, as being a righteous man in every way. In Him was no fault at all. Even His accusers, Pilate, had to say, "I find in Him no fault at all." Do you? No, as we look at Jesus' life, never once did He have to do what I have had to do many times and say, "I'm sorry, I made a mistake." Never once did He apologize for speaking rudely or unkindly. Never once did He have to go before God and judge a covetous heart. Never once, because in Him there was complete evenness and smoothness in the fine flour of the meat offering. But it was a sweet savor, wasn't it? It was a sweet savor. And then in the peace offering, we have what we had in the burnt offering, both the laying on of the hand and a sweet savor. It is our privilege this morning to enjoy communion with God because of the offering of Jesus Christ. Is it worthy to present Him to God as a peace offering? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's your privilege and mine to lay our hand on His head. In the sin offering, it is our privilege again to remember that He was bruised for our iniquities, isn't it? It was the chastisement of our peace that was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Because of our sins, now, I mentioned that the laying on of hands is important. In the sin offering, that is something that's very easy for me to understand, and I hope for you, that in laying His hand on the sin offering, His sins were conferred to that animal was killed in His place, and substitution was made. Dear fellow believers, it's a wonderful thing to know that before God, your sins are gone forever. But wouldn't it be sad if that was all? Because I have a sinful nature. I continue to disappoint myself. I continue to bring dishonor from time to time on God. I know that my sins are gone because God laid them all on Jesus, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. But I find in myself the droop loop that was brought before us last night. What about that? I'm not perfect. I'm awfully far from perfect. Are you? Yes, you are. whether you know it or not. And as you get older, you're going to learn more about it. So what's the importance of laying on of hands in the burnt offering and peace offering? If our sins are taken care of on the sin offering, why lay your hand on the head of a burnt offering or the peace offering? I'm going to tell you, dear believers, it's because the direction is flowing in the opposite way. Instead of conferring something from the offerer to the burnt offering, the quality, the sweet savor of that burnt offering is conferred to the hand of him who lays his hand upon it. And this morning, I trust that every one of us will lay our hands on Jesus Christ and see in him that which fully satisfies God. And although all we have to offer to him in a natural way are broken bits and pieces, this morning I stand in all the acceptance of Jesus Christ before God. I can lay my hand on him who was consumed completely by the fire. And it says right there in Leviticus 1, it shall be accepted for him. When we read in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are accepted in the beloved. Dear believer, that perhaps during this past summer you have made a mistake that has alienated you from communion with God. I know what it's like. Lay your hands on Jesus. He wants to restore communion. And you can't have it apart from Him. He not only died to take away your sins, He died that you might have communion with God, that you might know that before God you stand in all the acceptance of one who was completely consumed by the fire. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 10 before our time is gone. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. Now we read that those first three offerings were sweet savors to God. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Isn't that strange? Burnt offerings, no pleasure. But didn't it say in Leviticus chapter 1 that they were a sweet savor unto the Lord? Didn't they? What's going on? God is trying, if I can say that reverently, God is painting before us the picture that the pictures in the Old Testament aren't good enough. The burnt offering of a bullock or a ram or a little lamb is not good enough. Can never make the comers thereunto perfect. He says, in fact, that he has no pleasure in them. Well, what are we to do? Well, let's read on. Then said I, verse 7, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What is he taking away? He's taking away all those animal sacrifices and establishing a second sacrifice. God is saying all of those animal sacrifices only pointed to one thing, that is the second. That is the better way. That is the offering. It is of God's choosing. God's provision. God Himself has provided the offering that you and I need, that you and I want in Jesus Christ. One who could say, "Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God." One who could say, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." How in contrast from you and me. "Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God." He came to do the Father's will and to finish His work. And it is your privilege and mine this morning to identify ourselves by laying our hand on Jesus, by faith in our hearts, and saying, "That man who came to do the will of God belongs to me." And now this morning, if you are in Christ, then you are in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Isn't it wonderful? He's taken away the second that he might, the first that he may establish the second, by the which will. Verse 10, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once that second offering was made. And it is done. Why is it done? Because this time it was a perfect offering. This time God is well pleased. Now, let's hold your place right there, please. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 2 will begin with the word Christ. "Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Those first sacrifices in Leviticus were supposed to be a sweet-smelling savor, but God has to say that in them I have no pleasure. Why? Because they're incomplete. They are redundant. They have to be repeated over and over and over again. But now, once in the end of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Verse 11, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, this offering, this burnt offering, this peace offering, this meat offering, this sin offering, Jesus Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice, it's all wound up in one sacrifice now that is completed for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God." Does that mean it is my privilege this morning to look away from my failure, from the mistakes that I have made, to lay my hand on a man that is in the glory, having sat down, having completed the will of God on this earth? He is forever sat down. "From henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool." You and I, by faith, are right there with Him. God sees us there because, "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Have you been sanctified? That word simply means set apart by the blood of Christ. Then God tells you by His precious word this morning, dear believers, that you're perfected forever. by that one offering that is the burnt offering, the meat offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, all at once in Jesus Christ. Lay your hand upon Him. Understand that this morning Christ has offered Himself to God, a sweet-smelling savor. And if you lay your hands on Him, then you have an offering to bring to Him that is pleasing to God. In fact, let me just turn back to Hebrews chapter 13. It said in Hebrews chapter 10 that God had no pleasure in those offerings that were offered year by year, because they never made the comers thereunto perfect. But this morning, it is your privilege and mine to verse 15 of chapter 13, by Him, that is by Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Isn't it wonderful that this morning, because of that one offering, we are perfected forever. And now it is possible. It is possible by the mercies of God and by His marvelous, matchless, sovereign grace that you and I can offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. And with that sacrifice, God is well pleased because of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, that one offering by which all those who believe have been perfected. Those who are sanctified and set apart by Thy precious blood and by Thy Spirit. We give Thee thanks for Thy precious word. Make it good to our hearts in the power of Thy Spirit. We just commend Thy word to Thee. That Thou wouldst bless it to our hearts. In the most worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.